My name is Daniel Plankis. One of the commissioners, and I was appointed by the president approximately, I think, by the end of September this year. So I'm partly a new kid on the block in terms of the Finance and Fiscal Commission, but I've worked in National Treasury for quite some time, more than I can remember, and I've been around in terms of government business and that. With me, I've got Nomonde Madibula, who sits next to me. He's one of our senior researchers on fiscal policy, and Eddie Rakabe, who is also the program manager on fiscal policy, and then we have Henry Eckstein at the end, who's our parliamentary officer. Chairperson, thank you for allowing us to present, and the presentation is
in many ways a response to your request that the Finance and Fiscal Commission should do a presentation on the Department of Health budget. Look at the spending trends or patterns, if you like, and to be able to locate
Finance and Fiscal recommendations, Finance and Fiscal Commission's recommendations. What I need to say from the outset is that the presentation, when you call us back, we will be able to in a much more consolidated and efficient way, be able to tell you more about the efficiencies within the budgets of health, from abroad, program spending in relation to its function, but also in relation to the specific areas within the program. I've got apologies from Bongani Khumalo, who is the acting chairperson of the Finance and Fiscal Commission, and also the other commissioners. There's a couple of presentations that the commission is doing under 2013-14 recommendations to provincial legislatures. So commissioners are spread across the
provinces,
but also the legislatures. We're also having three other presentations to give to other portfolio committees. So thanks again for the opportunity. I will remind Bongani what you said, Chair. We'll definitely do a better job than what he would have done if he was here. I don't know whether that's said under the auspices of being privileged, but I'll still be interested. Chairperson, the presentation basically would look at we've given copies to the members, the honourable members. Presentation will basically look at the departmental analysis of departmental analysis of the budget and spending trends, with the focus on the overview of the Department of Health strategic plans, overview of the Department of Health performance plans, the health budget, spending patterns, and we'll talk about some of the findings that came from the Auditor General. You probably heard about that before. And as I indicated, we are available to come back to them to talk to you about matters related to the efficiencies within the allocations and budgets of the department. The presentation in many ways is about the health sector accounts, where we show that there's been about 4% across domestic product spending in the year 2013. That was the level of spending at the time, and it's expected that it will take a slight dip from a 4% to 3.9%. The figure is below the 5% of GDP, which is recommended from the World Health Organizations. And I think that the decline in the fiscal space of this department has got to do with a slowdown in cut off conditional grants and budget spending contraction on the budget of the department. More specifically, We just want to confirm that our response in terms of this presentation is based on the demand of the department, which you know far better than most of us in terms of your daily interaction with this department. It's based on Chapter 3, the responsibility is located in Chapter 3 of the National Health Act, which ostensibly speak to health services and programs, rules and standards on health, and essentially the coordination of health services. With that, Chair, I'm asking your permission to hand over to Nomonde to take you through parts of the slide presentation, and then we'll also shift gear towards Eddie to also do some inputs, and then we'll leave it to you to direct us how we go forward. I'm suggesting if it's okay with you that we just do the swap without asking permission to do the swapping. Honourable Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay, can I start? Okay. Morning, members of parliament. Okay, what I will look at is I will look at the overview of the strategic plan of the department. As we are all aware that health is one of the is the second priority in terms of the outcomes based approach, which is the national service delivery agreement that was signed between the president and the minister of health, such that it comes as outcome two. In some of the outcome based approach that the performance agreement that was signed between the president and the minister, it was about increasing the life expectancy, where the department is envisaging that by 2013 the life expectancy must have increased to 7 years, as we are now currently it's around average of 54 or 55. But I will go to that slide which show that information. Also, we know that we are starkly have a serious maternal and child mortality rates, which will also come to the slide as well that talks about the figures. And also another challenge that the outcome want to address is the burden of HIV disease, which is also associated with TB. And also we know that it is also the national health reform, which also includes the strengthening of the primary health care. So all in all, these are about four outcomes that the department is mainly focusing on. In terms of overview of the Department of Health Performance, we, as I've indicated earlier, that South African health outcomes are poor, despite South Africa spending being on par with its peer countries. What is exactly evident or striking is the high mortality and low expectancy rate. And as I've mentioned earlier, that there's also the health sector is not only faced with that, it's also faced with the HIV and TB, as well as the child mortality, the non-communicable disease, the violence, as well as injuries. Also, we know other than those things, there are also problems that are related to infrastructure negligence, poor management of facilities, which also include a lack of transport in emergency situations. So in terms of this diagram, it shows, as I've mentioned, these are the some of the outcomes approach that the department has set targets of itself to do so that it is in line with the Millennium Development Goals. Currently, we are at the department is envisaging that by 2014 at least it must go to 270 per 1,000 live beds by 2014. Likewise with the infant mortality, as well as the slide on the under 5 mortality, as well as the life expectancy. But you know that we are way below the Millennium Development Goals, which is the second column in the diagram. In terms of budget and programs of the health, we know that the National Department of Health has six programs. In total, the budget for 2013-14 is at 30.7 billion. We know that the health is a composed of administration, which is program one, which mainly look at the overall management of the department and support. as well as the program two, which is National Health Insurance, the planning system, which is also about the health financing reforms. The program three, which is about 11.29 billion, is about the HIV, AIDS, TB, and maternal and child health. And also program four, which is primary health healthcare services, it stands at 109.4 million. Program five, which is hospital, tertiary health services, and human resources, it stands at 17 billion. Mostly program five and program three are the ones that sort of take the largest chunk of the budget, as we all know that we are faced with the burden of disease. With the hospital tertiary services, we know that the department is in the process of upgrading the facilities, especially in the hospitals, so that it can be able to deliver its services efficiently. We also know that the last program, which stands at 754.1 million, is the health regulation and compliance management, which is really about regulating the medicine and accountability and compliance. In translating the programs that I have mentioned before, if you look at this pie chart, it shows really that the largest chunk of the budget, which is about 58%, it goes to hospitals, as we know that the department is upgrading the infrastructure in the hospital services. And then it is followed, as I've mentioned earlier, by the HIV and AIDS, and as well as the other programs, they sort of take the least chunk of the budget. In terms of the economic classification, as you can see, like most of the budget, it goes to transfers and subsidies, which is about transfers to provinces and the municipalities, as well as transfers to the academic programs that the department is involved in. So it sort of takes about 92% of the budget, with the lead taken by the goods and services, the payment of capital assets, as well as compensation of employees. If we go to the total share of health expenditure for the 2013-14, we know that provinces, they mainly take the largest chunk of the budget, which stands about 90%, because we know that they are the implementer of the national policies that are set at the national level. That is followed by provinces take the largest, followed by the national, with the least being the local government, because some of the functions is sort of service level agreements between the two, between provincial and local. If we look at now, we look at the provincial health expenditure, we try to look, we know that provinces, they have about 8 programs. So in all these 8 programs, we look at all the provinces in terms of their expenditure. We looked at for 2011, 2012, as well as 2012-13-14. It sort of totals, the total average, it sort of shows that in 2012-13, the provinces are fairly spending well, although there are some other expenditures in some of the processes, which I will come later in the analysis. In terms of looking at the real growth rate in health expenditure, if we look at national, provincial, and health, we find that, as I mentioned, that because provinces, they take the largest chunk, the real growth rates have been increasing, especially for provinces. If you take for the real average growth from 2005-2011, provinces have been, the real growth has been increasing about 7% for all the years under analysis. But if you look at the province specific for 2010-2011, it was about 4%. But we find that in the other two, the national, the real growth is sort of going down, while the local government is sort of going up, but still at a minus 2%. As I've mentioned, the slides that I have talked to, the presentation with the graph and the slides, this is the analysis in terms of that. As I mentioned that in one of the pie charts, I've mentioned that 92% of the health budget goes to transfers and subsidies, mainly to provinces and municipalities, where we know that currently some of the challenges that are faced by the sector, especially at the provincial level, in for provinces in delivering services, we know that currently there is no standard methodology for allocating budget, i.e. as well as with hospitals, which also shows some of the discrepancies between the 8 provinces. We know that provinces spend approximately about 60% of the budget to the compensation of employees, And then we know that the rest is allocated to the healthcare facilities, as I mentioned earlier. And I've mentioned earlier that of the six programs that the department is mainly driving, I've mentioned that hospitals, program 3 and 5, which is HIV and hospital and tertiary services and human resources, they take the largest chunk of the budget. As I've mentioned earlier, the aggregate spending performance for the six programs, it's fairly, the department has been fairly spending well at about 99.2%.
I'm still on a point of order. Our present, we can't follow a presentation. The document that has been given to us, the days are different. So the pages, so we're struggling. Could you please just go slower? Because your page 16 with us is another page. So we're struggling to follow you.
What?
The pages are not the same. With,
The presentation is not the same.
Chairperson, maybe we should have
the one
which has been presented, because now we are flipping around all those things. There are certain information which is added, and we don't have it here.
Maybe Mr. Black is commissioner. Can you help us? And,
in fact, I'm lucky because I think I've got your document. I don't know how I got it, but I've got your document. Can you help us and organize? It seems as if you're like me. Yeah, like me, because I thought it was going to go to the general to start. Now it seems as if I'm in the same boat as I am. But can we organize a document that is the same as the document that I'm presenting for normal?
analysis to the graphs and the charts that have been showing. So I think I was, I'm not sure where.
You know, the reason why the members are asking this question, or they're worried about it, is that they are going to be interrogated. Now, when they interrogate you, they want to go specifically to certain areas and say, on page so and so, or on that particular area, this is what's happening. I think that that is the end. If that is clear on that part, continue.
I think if I remember, I was supposed to be on slide 16 when I continue. I'm not sure whether the members are coming. Okay. As I've mentioned earlier, that in the six programs I have shown earlier with the pie chart and all that, as I'm saying that in terms of the spending performance, the department has been spending fairly well, although it's still under expenditure, but it was about 9.25% in both 2011, 2012, as well as 2012-13. In terms of the understanding, it has been mainly in two programs, which is the health regulation and compliance. And the reason for that is attributable to the delay in the setting up of the Office of Standard Compliance, as we know that the Department of Health has been set up for regulation. Also, in terms of the primary health care, some of the understanding, especially for 2011, 2012, 2013, it was also attributable to late delivery of some of the medicines, like the influenza vaccines. As I've showed you the other graph with mostly all the provinces, let me just go back, this graph that I've showed you with the provincial health expenditure. So in terms of that, we show that provinces, especially Eastern Cape, Limpopo, Gauteng, and Northern Cape in 2011, they have shown that there's been over expenditure in their budget. Some of the over expenditure in the provinces is it's a reflection of disparities in performances and the capacity to spend of the provinces. So because we find that in terms of allocating, while we have eight programs in the provinces, when they transfer funds for primary health care and all that, there is really no reinforcing of the funds. So we find that there are discrepancies in terms of how provinces allocate that budget. So I will hand over to Edith to continue with the commissioner class.
Thank you, Nomonde. Remember, I'll just take you through.
Are you using the same document?
Yes. Yeah. So it's slide 17 with the table condition grants. So we looked at how the health condition grants have been performing over time. So as the table indicates, there is a relatively good development of all conditional grants except for the national health insurance grant, which was introduced 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. What is also there is that the conditional grants which tends to perform a lot better are those that are administered by the national department on behalf of the provinces. So indirect grants tends to perform a lot better than those the grants that are directly given to the province. And what we have tried to look at was actually we find that a lot of this spending performance is actually just when the department transfer money to the provinces. And when we look at the spending outcomes in the division of revenue bill, sometimes we don't have the information, so there's a bit of discrepancies, because on the one hand the national department shows good performance, but when we go further down to the province level, there doesn't seem to be good information to reflect that. So all in all, the overall aggregate spending on all conditional grants is about 90%, which is not good, which is not bad. In our grants, as I've mentioned, have a higher performance spending than direct grants. But what is also concerning for the Commission is that there is insufficient data to assess the performance of conditional grants, especially on those that have just been recently introduced. We find in several cases there is no reporting for two consecutive years, even after the grant is introduced. That is in the Division of Revenue there. Then there is also this practice of merging underperforming grants, even when there is no underlying performance data. So we've seen last year that there were three conditional grants from the National Department that were merged into the one in the health infrastructure grant. But when we looked, when we checked the performance of those grants over time, we find that there was serious underperformance problem, and the solution was that perhaps the grant should be merged because they all did with infrastructure. But in our analysis, we actually found that the merging of the conditional grant is often not a very good solution to the problem of underspending in infrastructure conditional grants. As I mentioned, there is a serious problem of underspending in the national health insurance grants that was introduced 2 years ago. Currently, there are no audited financial performance information on the NHR grant for 2012 and 2013. So when you look at the Division of Revenue Bill for 2012-18, there is no performance data on the grant because what is reported there is just that the grant is still new. So in the view of the Commission is that because the way in which these grants are introduced, often because there is no proper plan that precedes the introduction of conditional grants, when spending, when there had to be implementation on the grant, that lack of proper planning on the introduction of and clarity on what the conditional grant seeks to be doing and how is it going to be spent, often prohibit this timely recording of performance data. And for the current MTF allocations, the National Health Insurance Grant has been allocated 291 million to 420 and 444 million. That is for the 10 districts that have been selected for piloting the National Health Insurance. So the risk there is that if the grant continues to underperform and in the manner in which it's performing, it may likely undermine the implementation of the National Health Insurance in the future. So we also looked at some of the Auditor General findings which are pertinent to the Commission's work, and I suppose the Auditor General will be speaking to it because they are here as well. So just to highlight a few, is that the National Department has had an unqualified report, which is good, but for there are 6 provinces, including Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, KZN, Mpumalanga, and Northern West, which received qualified reports. Limpopo and Northern Cape have disclaimers, and this is appears to be a growing trend because even last year the provincial departments of health in Limpopo and Northern Cape had disclaimers. And the key concerns around what the Auditor General raises is what the Commissioner Plaik has mentioned earlier, is about the inefficiencies, some of the inefficiencies which I think for now we don't have data to demonstrate, but there are concerns on the inability of the sector to demonstrate improvement. There are some leadership instabilities in certain departments, and the staff not being held accountable for performance. So there's also some level of waste expenditure and apparatus expenditure which contributed to the Auditor General's findings on some of the of provincial departments. The key findings on service delivery or the mandate of the department is that on the HIV and AIDS grant, the witnesses in identifying and reporting performance data, which should ideally drive the allocations to the various beneficiaries of the ARC program. So this is what I've spoken to already. So we've got spending performance information, but we don't have the actual outcomes of what the grant seeks to achieve. With respect to hospital revitalization, the finding is that there is high level of performance from contractors. There's a level of delay in completion of projects.
and in certain cases, infrastructures are not correctly identified. This was actually even confirmed in one of the studies that the Commission had made before in cases infrastructure facilities, health facilities are built, and only to find that there is no operational budget to run them, and hence we have new hospitals which have been built but not being used, which is a case in Gauteng in the East Rand. There's also an issue of medical waste. The expired medications are not appropriately disposed, and this is obviously a health hazard. And in other sense, it's also a fiscal self-discipline issue that the Auditor General is raising. With respect to emergency medical services, the issue there is that there is low response time. There is low response time, and in some instances, the vehicles do not necessarily arrive in time when there are emergencies. And just lastly, just to indicate what the Commission have classified as departmental challenges is mainly on the audit outcomes, where provinces have qualified and disclaimer reports, no compliance with supply chain management procedures, the poor health outcomes that Nomonde has spoken to. We actually noticing that South Africa's health outcomes are way below the MDG targets which have been set. And again, the discrepancy in provincial spending, which almost translates in disparities in this fund. So in one of the studies that we did was we find that districts which have actually a higher disease burden actually receive the lowest budget allocations, which is actually the inverse of what the equitable funding should be doing. So, and then it's because of the discrepancies in the manner in which various provinces allocate budget to the institutions responsible for actual service delivery. The other issue that we also noting is the policy uncertainty and the spending discrepancies on NHI, which will in the future probably negatively affect the rollout of the NHI program. Lastly, just to mention the previous recommendation that the FFP has made to government. In 2009, the FFP recommended that government must extend its ongoing efforts to reform the health fiscal framework, by taking into account the balance of diseases, which in most of the time give rise to budget pressure. So we have noticed that in KZN, when the TB epidemic hit them, there was a lot of money that was needed in KZN, and as a result, KZN has had to be dealt with separately from the other provinces. With respect to MDG Goal 6, the Commission documented that recommended that it's important to emphasize and to protect problems such as those who are combating age from being underfunded and deprived or downward. So this is specifically relating to the budget cuts that were implemented in the current budget. The point here is that when budget cuts are made, they should not be made indiscriminately, but we should project problems which are key to attainment of MDG goals, such as your HIV, should be protected. So when we have the 1% and 2% and 3% that was recommended by National Treasuries, the FC was effectively making the point that some of these problems like HIV should not go through that kind of a budget cutting process. The FFC has also on several occasions documented for the development of norms and standards for the funding and delivery of healthcare. This has become a very serious problem, as we see that various civic organizations are taking government to court over the lack of norms and standards on funding and delivery, and it actually contributes to disparities in the levels of these deliveries across the land provinces. And as a result, we are experiencing quite a lot of concerns from provinces that their budgets are increasingly becoming inadequate to cater for the healthcare needs in the various provinces. But because there are no norms and standards against which budget are evaluated, it's difficult to even estimate or tell whether the budget that is currently allocated to the health to health is adequate to meet the mandate of the department in general. And just lastly, the other I think the concern that the Commission has made to these two consolidation conditional grants, where I have mentioned that last year there were three conditional grants that were consolidated into one to make the health infrastructure conditional grant. And what we actually noted there was that consolidation is actually symptomatic of the government and needs to be accompanied by interventions that addresses the underlying causes or drivers of poor performance, and actually improvement in accountability on a conditional plan. So that's, I think that's the end of the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Commissioner, thank you very much.
Mr. Jefferson and members, I think we are here to answer any questions that you have, and if you don't have these answers, we'll come back to you. But moreover, I would like to reaffirm that when it's got to do with the efficiencies within these budgets and spending, it's a key matter that we'll look at going forward, depending on when you call back the FSC to be able to come and help and explain some of this thing. Thank you, Chief.
So thank you very much. I think the reason why we called you an Auditor General is because we're going to be looking at how the department performed, specifically the Department of Health, and not only look at them, how they performed in the past year, but we want to be sure that we could make recommendations. We are changing policy, but we want to make recommendations where we see that they have not done well, and suggest in future that you could use this money in this area. So that's how we called you. But I know I might be wrong, but part of your work is to make recommendations to Treasury as to how should they be getting money. So don't be surprised when we go overboard and ask you, why don't you make these recommendations to Treasury? An example is, do you ever consider the distances that in some places have got to be traveled when you make recommendations to Treasury? But we're going to be doing that. And it is, you have actually helped us. It is very clear that sometimes we don't follow the policies that we make. Like, you see, most of the money goes to hospitals, which is hospice centers, as against the policy of government, which is primary health care. And there seems to be a very big discrepancy on the money that goes to provinces, which has been confirmed by Onomwande, that you're sending money there, but they start using it for something else, but they use it for something else, not for what it was intended for. Even that part goes even to the conditional that are supposed to be conditions for a particular thing, but it's becoming very clear that and the other surprising thing is the underspending in the primary health care, and the fact that some of the information that we get from national is not exactly the same information that we get from the provinces, where the work is actually done and where the bulk of the money actually goes. These are some of the things that one picked up, but members of Congress, we accepted your apology, but I think that we must know, all of us, to err is human. So I made a mistake myself, and I thought we were going to start with Auditor General. Maybe I like them. My mind was fixed on them before we go to you. But I've moved my mind now to you, and I'm concentrating on you. And I think you made a mistake too, so let's balance those approaches. And it's okay, there's nothing more now. Members, it's up to you to ask questions. So Umamutube, maybe we'll move that way because everybody is coming. Madule?
Mine is not a question around the presentation. I just wanted to check on page 10. I see you have inserted the report of the Auditor General in your presentation. My view was you are going to present your findings and the Auditor General will also present their findings. But if you have already incorporated it here, what were your findings around these things that the Auditor General has found from your side? Not to tell us what the Auditor General has found and recommended. So I just want to check if you are going to entertain these two pages of Auditor General with you, because you might not have answers and the Auditor General must come again and present the very same findings. I just wanted to check if you are going to do that.
That's my difference. You don't want somebody to be quoted when they're inside the room. They must talk for themselves. Okay.
No, I can talk now, Chair. There's no problem. Chair, when I'm looking at the commission's their mission to provide proactive experts and independent advice. So I just wanted to find, you mentioned so many things that we always know about what is happening. So I just wanted to find out, is there any stage where you sit down with the department and come up with these recommendations that you are telling us today? And I'm sure you've been doing that for many years. So do you sit down sometimes, analyze what you advise them of doing, why they didn't comply, and all those things? I'm sure you're also getting tired of talking to the same people, the same thing over and over. Somehow you need to come up with some other mechanisms that you have to, I don't know. Yes. Thank you.
I'm going to ask questions because I believe that you discover and what you find out, you give advice to Treasury, and that has got an impact on the budget, how the budget gets allocated. The first question is going to be your finding about the reduction on the budget, and you are saying that it should at least be 5% in terms of the World Health Organization. With all the problems we have as far as health is concerned, what is your assessment in terms of the impact on service delivery and quality of health care in terms of that? Because if you have made any assessment about what will the impact of this be. And there is a statement, when you make a statement about South Africa's health outcomes are poor despite South Africa spending being on par with its peer countries. And if it's going to be, as you said, your advice to Treasury in terms of the mistake we are making if we are going to reduce expenditure on this. And the issue of infrastructure negligence, because unfortunately we have got public works which deals with infrastructure in South Africa, and there is no doubt that our public works is a mess. I mean, there is no debate about that. Each department must start looking after its own infrastructure instead of centralizing. Whether you have made any recommendations as far as that is concerned to be able to make sure that the infrastructure is properly maintained. My first question, if we have got to achieve this 70 years life expectancy and our budget, because when people get older, they get more sickly and they have got an impact on social benefits and provision of health care. Whether there is any recommendations which you are considering to ensure that health is able to handle disease. These are my questions, which are all related.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. One would really have appreciated that the department was invited, because to ask questions which I know that it is your observation to you, I really need answers. I was going to be very comfortable if I've been answered now, while the two are in the in the same room. Be that as it may, when you go to page 4, the issue that Khanare has said that you may, as a commission, have an influence of advising or suggesting or recommending. What the chair said initially about the budget, the way it's allocated, I want to know what is your weight around that. When program 5 is hospital, is number 1, program 6 is number 2, program 2 is number 3, program 4, program 1 is number 4, and primary healthcare. When I say I looked at the numbers, at the amount, the budget given to the program, now I put who is funded more. Then number 5, primary healthcare. It is program 4, but according to the allocation, is number 5. Will we really achieve what we are intending to achieve? Because we have to prevent and promote good health at the end of the day. There's other things which I really want us to look at when we advise people on how to allocate their money. I can't really see primary healthcare reaching what it's supposed to reach when it is like that. I think even things that when you look at the provincial health expenditure, the provincial health expenditure, then you look at the adjustment budget, price estimation, and you look how the provinces are being given. I know that there is a yardstick to how the budget is being allocated. But what I am saying, the way it is, the richer will remain rich, the poor will remain poor. Because at a certain stage, when you look, if that the province like Limpopo, the province like Eastern Cape needs to come where Gauteng and Western Cape is, with the way budget is being allocated. And I know you there is a yardstick which has been used to fund the provinces, but the previously disadvantaged, the previously advantaged, they will always, we are going to have that gap. And what I want to know, what is the commission saying? The other one is what Honorable Kopan has said, but I will say, how often do you interact with the department? I always say, I'm not happy about my staff, the staff. Why am I not happy? They only interact with me when they tell me that I'm owing a huge amount. But during the course of the year, there is no interaction to make me aware that, hey, beware, this is what is going to happen. But at a level, I would be saying that, how often do you do that? You know, at a certain stage in the auditor, I'm going to touch it because it is what we have seen or observed. I would say that this is a cut and paste. And I know it is not a cut and paste. Why am I saying? Because these things are not set for the first time today. They have been set on a yearly basis. Like when we talk about the HIV, the reliability of the data given, it has been a problem since in my previous life when I was a professional nurse at the Department of Health. It has been a problem since 1999, when I came here, 2009. It has been a problem. Revitalization, the contract delays, it has been a problem. Medical waste, not disposing medical waste correctly, it has been a problem. Emergency service, no response, it has been a problem. That is why when I see, I'm not seeing anything new. Now I know you always do recommendations. You will see what you have seen and you'll do recommendations. I want you to tell me today, according to your observation, is there anybody who's doing anything about your recommendation? Because for your existence, to see things which we all know that you cannot do anything about them, you cannot correct them. But somebody who's supposed to correct them is not correcting them. According to the commission, what is that? I've been taught that then how to define madness is when you are doing one thing every time and thinking the same and thinking that you will different results. Like you are pouring water in a leaking bucket, but you are still pouring it on daily basis. Now, who's mad? I'm really the last thinking person. Yesterday when I was going through this, I asked myself, sometimes we confuse failures with challenges. I don't know. To me, a challenge is something which is above. I can't do anything about it. But when you look at the challenges, to me, are failures. I don't know if you agree with me. And that is why I said that I so wish that the department was here, but I'm going, that is why I'm really happy that you gave us this report, so that I read it together with the annual plan, so that the department must answer, because you just see, you recommend, nobody is doing anything. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Ms. Khale. I think the reason why we call them, they have actually hit it on the nail. We call them so that they could arm us before. The fact that the department is not here, it's neither here nor there, but we're going to be meeting them. These are some of the things that we need to ask. And I think Ms. Khale is actually saying the budget is a very big political tool to transform whatever that you want to transform. Now, if we want to transform health services in South Africa, we've got to use budget. And it seems as if we're not using it. And one other example that she highlighted is that I think Unumonde mentioned that we've got discrepancies. There's a lot of money that goes in, but the outcomes are not very good. But if you look where those outcomes are coming from, it's actually coming from rural areas and the peri-urban areas. And in fact, that's where we are not making policies to put in more money there, because that's where the problem is. If you look at infant mortality, it's the rural areas. Mothers who die before they reach hospital, pregnant, they're coming from rural areas. And it's the distances. But we're not going there. We're just going the other side, and we're giving money. And we're not talking about the referral system. We're just giving money, and people just go into the hospital, even if they deserve to be seen at a clinic. They don't even go via a clinic, just go to a big hospital. And the big hospital spends more money than the primary health care. I think these are some of the points that the members are trying to say. My home care.
Thank you, Chair. I think my colleague here has said it all. I will repeat some of the things, but I think we are all very concerned about the fact that the money is there, but the outcomes aren't. I'm particularly concerned about primary health care, when one sees the minute portion it gets, and that's where the masses of the people are. We don't have enough hospitals. We don't have enough clinics. Now, let me tell you, it's not only the hospitals that are a problem. What causes these women in labor not to get to a clinic or to medical care? The road system. If I think of my trip to Madwaleni Hospital near Butterworth, you needed a 4x4x4 to be able to get there.
You know, the roads were so bad. The infrastructure is generally bad. So what we need is not just health to look at their situation, but we actually need to look at the public works department as well. One needs a team effort overall. So my question to you as well is, you present to us now, and we're grateful for it because it's nice and clear and helps just to reinforce what we've already seen with our own eyes and what we think. But what is happening to make sure that we've got outcomes? There needs to be more monitoring. There needs to be more of a big stick being wagged. I think people need to be held accountable. I don't know all the answers. Yes, we do oversight, we do monitoring, but we go on a couple of trips a year. We can't get everywhere. I think this is something that needs to be instituted, where there is somebody who can see, are the people working? Are they performing? Are they doing the jobs they're supposed to do? And are they using the taxpayers' money wisely? It's a major problem. I don't think we're going to find all the answers here, but perhaps we need to look at the role of the FFC and the Auditor General. You do a great job, but somebody needs to be out there. And yes, it's management. I think there's very poor management in many cases. And the problems are in the provinces, not with our national minister. His powers are limited. We somehow need to find a way of being able to crack the whip on those who are letting our system down and letting our people down. I'm very concerned about primary health care. I'm concerned about things like cancer. We have still not got the cancer register in operation. You know, that's a simple basic thing. If you don't know where your problems come from, as my colleague said with HIV/AIDS as well, if you can't identify the source of the problems, how can you fix it? Where can you apply your research? Where should you be putting your money? So I think we really are just touching on the surface. We're not digging down and going down to the roots. I think I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Matt Robinson. Honourable.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. The Chairperson had touched on rural areas, which was my first question. Your input, does it actually look at health, just health, or it will also involve those poor rural health care and services? Because everything seems to be more urban, less pre-urban, and less rural. Maybe if you can just give us some highlights on that. According to you, seeing that the outputs are not as good as they're supposed to be, or they're not congruent to the budget that's given to the Department of Health, according to you, is the budget inadequate, more, or could be cut down? You've spoken about 54, 56 life expectancy, expectancy. Is this in general or specific? Because from research, from MRC, from HSRC, life expectancy is improving to up to 60, and in particular financing. So has that been taken into cognizance, or you're just speaking about life expectancy in general, or previously, before 2012, 2013. NHI, I think, is in the making. So I am sure the plans and various other things are following slowly. That were in piloting, and that pilots are not doing so, not all pilots are doing wonderful. So it's not easy to plan for a pilot. I'm not trying to defend the department, but do you think it's unfair that the funding has not been used correctly or rightly because of poor planning? Have you made any recommendations to the Department of Public Works and the Department of Health? In fact, not in the Department of Health and all other departments, because the Department of Public Works is a sore tooth to all the departments. Does government take the recommendations from FFC? Because the people that are implementing policy are in that area. When it comes to the, I'm asking this question because when it comes to the Auditor General's recommendations, the Minister of Health has actually dealt with those recommendations, and some of the areas have been corrected because of that involvement and facilitation by him. And if I may just concur with my colleague who previously spoke before me, I've been in appropriations, and there is a form of cut and paste in some of the areas. Maybe can have something a bit new. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's welcome Honorable Kenya and Honorable Doug. They came a little bit late.
Thank you.
We got your apologies. So I see Maka, you want to ask something and then you'll follow Honorable Doug.
Thank you, Chairperson. Also, to say, I apologize for being late. I had a bit of a problem. Thank you very much. I think some of the of my concerns have been touched, but also to add to what other Honourable Members have said, on the issue of NHI, yes, we are concerned about the NHI, as you elaborated, as you explained on page 17 on the bulletin, where there are no records and there's a serious understanding of NHI grants, which compromise, which I think to my understanding that will also compromise the implementation of NHI. And also noting that on page 21, same NHI understanding will have an impact in the rollout plan of this NHI. Also, I'm sharing the same sentiment of the department, maybe, as the chairman has said, that yes, you are arming us so that we can be able to go to have facts when we talk to the department, because these issues are talking about today. We really note that the department is not performing well. But I'm worried that you are saying anything on your recommendations. You haven't touched the NHI, and also the primary health care services, as you said that when you look at the also a consent also as defined as said. On page 8, when you talk about the program, I know that the case services why have they all got 109.4, whereas administration has got a large amount of 411 million. And now you ask yourself what comes first when you talk about administration and when you talk about the PAC, primary health care. If you say you want to strengthen and to engineer the primary health care, why don't you get it? Why is the amount allocation so down, even when you look at the 20 why is so as the allocation really doesn't impress us, because to my understanding I don't think any side can be undermined, administration can be given a large amount. And of course, we say that when you look at the unstaffing, we're talking about the unstaffing and shortage of the ambulances and the waiting times. That is always what is being said, and you don't have any recommendation to the department about that. Though we know that they always tell us about the shortage of staff and the shortage of ambulances, and you don't know, because there is, I think, to my understanding, There is an equitable amount for that. But also you are talking about the MPs, you are talking about the emergency services. Yes, of course, which are not available. So we all know that the department, this question is supposed to ask from the department, but we also need your recommendations, as you have some of them are challenges and also your findings. So to that effect, what do you think can be done to make those recommendations work?
On page 15, the expenditure analysis is
always 97, range between 97 and 95%. But when you look at that, let me check. P15. Just want to say why did I mark this P15? All right. On page 15, this is what I wanted to say. I'm also worried about this disclaimer of these two provinces, and also qualified report. When you look at these qualified reports for all these six provinces, and also including disclaimers, now it seems as if all these provinces, especially the eight of them, except the Western Cape, there is a problem. What is also, I just want to check, noting that they are always having these disclaimers, and who have got the disclaimers, and other ones have got this qualified audit, what's your opinion? To my understanding, I think you should have something also as a recommendation, so as to have these provinces to move to the unqualified, at least not to be a norm, but all of them. Because when I talk about those six, it means that 6 + 2 = 8. 8 provinces have got a problem. So what do you think, why don't you have a recommendation on that problem, which you say it is also a problem when you look at them? It has been continuing. Thanks, Everson, for now.
Thank you, Chair. And again, sorry for being late, but you know, I'm juggling with two committees on a Wednesday, which is, makes it a bit difficult. I've generally been covered, but I would like to just go back to page 9, the conditional grant analysis, and the two bullet points. No reporting for 2 consecutive years to do with new grants. And then the one is a serious underspending on the NHI. I just would like to go back there just to check where we can kind of get that clear about who's dropped the ball there, who's responsible at the end of the day for not having made sure that we got that reporting. Where does it lie, and what, because we need to know what, where we've got to focus and where we've got, who we've got to target on that issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think the term is 5 to 11. I thought we were going to have at 11. I don't think I'm wrong this time. So I would suggest that probably we go for T, and then after T, which is going to be 10 minutes, we come back and then you rattle all this. There's been something that has been said time and again, talking to the department. Do you talk to the department? I think what happens is that the different departments start employing the relevant people that know what they are doing, know how to transform South Africa. You are not employed to look at the health indicators, but you are employed to make recommendations on what they tell you. Do they tell you, do they know what they want, or don't they have capacity to convince you that we need this and that and that? Because they are the ones who know about health. You don't know about health, but they are supposed to convince you. Do they convince you? Do they have capacity to convince you? Or if they've got capacity, are they able to convince you that, look, this is what we need, and then you take it up with them? There's a lot of underspending. Despite the fact that we're talking about money, that in the province there's a lot of underspending, which is what they understand. Yet they are given money. Now the worry is that we are talking about rural, changing things, transforming the country. Do you think that if we transform the country and go where there are problems, according to the health indicators, which is the rural and peri-urban, are they going to be able to take the amount of money that we give them? Looking at the underspending that is happening now, because the actual work is done in the provinces. Because they are underspending. And not only that they are underspending, they can't even keep their records. The fact that they got qualified to vote is because they can't keep their records. But by not keeping records doesn't mean that they don't do the work. You might not keep the records, but you are doing the work. You might keep the records, and yet you are not doing the work well. So are they doing the work? But what we are judging from is that it is said that they've got qualified records, meaning that they can't even keep their records when they're given money. Is that a true story? And what would be your suggestion? We know that we might be hitting the messenger. You're just the messenger. Don't think that we're hitting at you. We're looking for the department, but you've just helped us to be able to engage them. So we're not hitting you. We're just asking you the question so that you can help us, so that when we meet them, we'll be able. Let's go for tea, and then we come back, and then we respond to the questions. Thank you, member. Thank you, FFC. Now I know what it is. Members, Auditor General and FFC, somebody has dropped your wallet here.
Oh my God.
No, we haven't looked how much money there is there. But we put it here so that whoever has lost their wallet will come and pick it up. Is it a bomb? It's one of those things.
Thank you.
No, for the bar, it's just, no.
Waiting for one or two members which are coming. I thought the 10 minutes was over, but some people started late going to the bathrooms. They walked out of the meeting. No.
Hello.
Okay, members, let's settle down. Order, other members. Commissioner, we're ready for answers. I think I must reiterate that we called you to help us and arm us for when we meet the department. And when we think that we need to move certain budgets to certain areas without changing policy. And we have actually done that. So some of the questions that I've asked you might be beyond you. We do understand that. But those who feel that they are beyond you, it doesn't matter, you can refer us and say, no, this one belongs to here. But all we wanted to do was to help us. And I think your presentation has helped us to prepare for the development. So thank you very much for that. Now it's up to you to go in and answer those questions. So over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. Can I say from the outset, I think from on behalf of the Commission, I actually think these questions are actually spot on in relation to think about how do we ensure that health spending deliver the desired outcomes that was intended. Your questions, we're not going to respond to each of the honourable members, because I thought that we need to categorise the questions. Because you've asked a lot, you've also made comments, so we'll cluster it in the form of the questions related to the allocations, and then we will look at the questions related to service delivery matters. Then the issue of performance, strategic liaison. And we might have a comment on spending capacity on it. And I hope it helps, because the issues in terms of the way I saw it in consultation with my colleagues, it seems to me that those are the five categories, if you like, that the questions were raised accordingly. On the matter of the Auditor General, report and it finding itself in this. I think I would like to agree and confirm, to use the phrase of one of the honourable members, it's reproducing the Auditor General's report in a number of ways. I think we concur with it. But it also relates to your question around the department's budget and spending trends. And ostensibly, if you look at the spending trends, you also need to look at what sits in the public domain, what sits in another institution that has been provided to you, and probably re-emphasize those things and confirm it. But I think the questions and the points that you're raising on the that relates to the Auditor General, rightly so, we will leave it to our fraternal constitutional structure to deal with that. If that's okay with the chairperson and the committee, and yes, and if we stole the thunder, it's always a good practice if other people can actually speak about your reports. You know, it just lends a greater level of currency to your work and what you're doing. So we're thankful for them for giving that. We've decided, Chairperson, that we'll distribute the report, the questions between three of us, and I will could quickly just say to you and your honourable members that we fully agree on the geographical distances as a key factor in terms of the financial allocations and service delivery spread, given that it can be considered that a health service in the Northern Cape or the Eastern Cape or the bigger rural provinces is not as cheap as a health service in a city urban metropoles. It's a known fact that services to people in far-flung areas are far more expensive for a number of reasons. So it's not only about getting the help, the drugs there, it's also about the infrastructure investments to the service delivery to the facilities, etc. And hence the FSC did recommend between the years 2001 to 2004 cost of norms approach, which would have helped in many ways to deal with the funding disparities on the one hand between provinces, within provinces, between geographical areas in regions in terms of that. So a cost of norms approach was recommended at the time. But I think what the Treasury argued at the time was that we don't have sufficient data on a number of demographics and service delivery data and infrastructure data that would have helped to deal with cost of norms approach. But I think, Chairperson, what we can do is relook at our different recommendations over the years, and I've asked Nomonde to flag that up again for you so that you are able to see what were those recommendations made. And some of those recommendations are as true as it was in those years still today, and you might want to consider that. The data disparities between national and provincial departments, I think if it's on the service delivery element of it, then I think you that question probably sits with the Department of Health. And we'll see whether we can do further work on it. If it's got to do with the whole question of demographics, then clearly what we could help with is to try to make some sense for health purposes if it's not there in terms of the census data. What the census data is saying, because that in many ways informs the fiscal distribution, especially with regard to the equitable share allocations. So that's on that matter. And then the last from my side on the spending, I just want to caution the honourable members. I think primary healthcare is one of those things that we're very passionate about, because it's one of those that helps with allocative efficiencies. Close to the people, you know exactly what the people want or require, and the services respond to their needs. The number you have in here, honourable members, is a number that sits on the National Department's budget program. Remember, you asked for the National Department budget assessment. So the budget on the National Department, in terms of how they manage from policy design to monitoring, to various inputs that this department are making around that as a national department. So the 109.4 million is on the national department's budget. What we're spending, or rather what the government is spending, sits in the consolidated district health services budget, of which that spending in 2011, we need to get you the latest numbers, was 86 billion rands, of which 35 billion was transferred to district health services and municipalities to deal with that. So it's quite a huge amount. It's not as low as this. This is, remember, national departments got national responsibilities relative to that function. So I hope that helps to dispel that we're saying the distribution is too low. It's actually relatively high compared to the 109. And it sits in provinces. The other thing there, that funds get distributed from provincial traders because it's part of the equitable share allocation logistics services. Chairperson, that I would then ask, and then just the last, the Nomonde will speak about the WHO, the comparison of the spending relative to other countries, give information on that. And then A will speak to you on the infrastructure, Chairperson, infrastructure spend. And Nomonde will also speak on the matter of reduction of the budget in relation to the World Health Organization measure, but also in relation to the slight dip that has happened with regards to the 4% to 0.3%. That's the first set of answers.
Before Nomonde comes in, there's something of interest for me.
Yes, Chair.
It might not be for you, but sometimes when you allocate budget, you use human, I mean, you can't count the population, that the population is like this, then I keep giving them this money. But what worries me is that in health, the best indicators are coming from the rural provinces. And if you look at states, South Africa, most of the people that are going to Britain are moving from those rural provinces. So are we not in a vicious cycle where people are leaving the poor provinces for the richer provinces, and we keep on decreasing the money that we give them because they are moving to that. And the more we decrease the money, the more we are making those provinces poorer. And the more we make them poorer, the more bad health indicators. So it's a vicious cycle. Is it not a vicious cycle? I'm just asking. It just offers that you can go on normally. You don't have to answer that if you don't. Oh, Ed wants to answer. It's because you've got your money now.
Yeah. No, we are currently actually looking at the provincial equitable share formula that is used to distribute funds across all the provinces. The way it works currently is that it's population-based, as you rightly say. So about 60% of the allocation to provinces are explained by the distribution of population across the nine provinces. So the problem obviously there is that we have interprovincial migration provinces which experiences declining population size always loses quite a bit of money through the distribution formula. But what was done in 2011, I think last year, the health component of the provincial equitable share was reduced to incorporate some need indicators which I would say capture a better relative demand for health within each province. So the formula now looks at things like the old age people, the burden of disease, children under 5, so as the key drivers of health. Of health costs within provinces. But what the problem is that the formula is only an allocation tool. So what happens when the money has been allocated through the formula, it's now the discretion of the provincial executive to allocate money to how they allocate money without Western Cape money to allocate the health budget. It's essentially the discretion of the provincial executive, and that's where the problem is. Sometimes, because of what we mentioned about the lack of norms and standards in allocation of the health budget, there are different systems for allocating budgets to districts, to hospitals, to clinics, and that is where we find that there is discrepancies where the districts which have got higher levels of disease burden actually do not necessarily get the high level of resources. But then again, the study that we've done actually showing that the relationship between the budget and the resources and outcome is not always positive. So when you give districts which have got poor districts a lot more money, it does not necessarily result in, or it does not necessarily lead to higher to improvement in health outcomes, and we're sitting now in a situation where we're trying to understand where exactly is the problem. Is it the problem money, or is the problem sitting sitting elsewhere where it needs to be readdressed. Thank you.
Just to touch on what it is saying, currently at the FSC we are actually conducting a study on what is public health care unfunded, which will be in our recommendations for next year. And in the analysis that we found actually it's in part both. It's both the budgeting, the funding, as well as inefficiencies in the system in terms of institutional failures as well as weak structures within the district. So when we come to the honourable member, when he was asking about the 5%, we find that as much as this 5%, it's what health who recommends where outcomes for health can be better. In our South African case, for that to happen, it must be subject to correcting the inefficiencies that are in the system, whereby the devolution of authority for operational procedures, as well as we have to increase the budget to make sure that it is in line with the whole recommendation of 5%. But for us to do that, we need to address the institutional failures that are currently in place, while we also try to expand the budget to 5%, because now it's currently sitting between 3.3% of GDP to 4% or 4.3%. So that's how we're looking at. We are hoping that at the end of this study, some of the preliminary thoughts that we have, it's sort of like balancing between the two. We saw the inefficiencies, we try to expand the budget so that we reach the 5% GDP. But before we even go there, we need to sort out the inefficiencies, because we know that the inefficiencies are at a district level, are at a hospital level. Because we find that a hospital manager doesn't even have the power, whether someone comes to the office or not, that the hospital manager cannot fire that person. He must write a letter of recommendation to the provincial head. So you find that sometimes there is a low staff morale because the hospital manager cannot do anything because operational procedures are not devolved to them. So it's some of the things that we are trying to sort of, for next year, that we'll sort of like recommend that let's sort out the inefficiencies while we are subject. Once we sort out the inefficiencies, then we can be able to reach the 5%. But we cannot reach the 5% because like to devolve the system is currently the inefficiencies that we have. So that's what we are looking at.
Jefferson? We need assistance from you. We're due to be with another portfolio committee of Posse 11. And we will deal with you till Posse 11. And we know that you've asked quite a number of questions and you deserve a response to some of these. So I don't know how you want to do it, whether we should come back to you, whether we should give you a written response to some of the comments made, to help you with it, or whether we just, we'll hear those options, but we on the 11:30 deadline and we don't want to get into a into difficulties with the other portfolio committee.
Members, there's a request that they want to what we usually do, though, I'm going to ask the members what they say. What we usually do is that if there were questions that were not responded to, we usually say, can you put them in writing and then send them to the secretary. I'm trying to lobby you members that why don't we do that? Fortunately, even the next team is here, the Auditor General, so we can have Auditor General. Okay. I see the way the heads are moving. They're moving vertically. So, not to resolve that. So, we are allowing you to leave. You can have your final word. Then you can look back, knowing that all the responses are going to be written down and then sent to the secretary.
Before you go, may we know by when these responses are going to be in the secretary's email?
If you, as Honorable Torek, can answer. Sometimes we'll get the protocol in this place. There's two options, Honorable Member, is that we can take the questions the way, in terms of our categorizations and the way we understand it, and then give you a response to it. Alternatively, is to do what the chairperson is saying. So we get the questions and then answer it. The when, I would think is, I would prefer that you give us at least a week, because we're going to have to check a week from today, meaning Today's Wednesday. At least by Tuesday, you should have it. Monday, Tuesday. There is no pressure of an unknown kind that you need to have it before Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you why she's asking that question. The reason she's asking that question, the reason we called you was we wanted to be armed for the Department of Health. Mm-hmm. We are meeting the Department of Health next week. Mm-hmm. It is on Wednesday. So if we could have those responses before Wednesday, at least by Tuesday, so that we can look through them, so that when we meet the department, we're okay.
Can you make an undertaking and to get it to you by Tuesday at 10 o'clock? Yeah, Tuesday at 10 o'clock? It might come earlier. We will pressure on that the officials produce it earlier than that. But I think it will just be fair if other commissioners also look at what has been responded to. So that we just get the solid.
Are you through now?
That if you can just allow Elia quick on the infrastructure spinning, very quick, 60 seconds respond.
Yeah, infrastructure spinning, as I've mentioned, is that infrastructure is it's mainly the responsibility of the, I mean, it's done through the by both provinces and the major and the national government. And what happens is that currently the hospital revitalization grant is the main infrastructure financing for hospital run, and provinces are expected to top up the infrastructure spend with their provincial equitable share allocation. But over time, we have seen the amount of resources from the provincial equitable share that is allocated to infrastructure declining, and the province is now relying heavily on the hospital revitalization grant and the infrastructure grant for provinces for infrastructure. But what we're noticing is that there are now new reforms in the that were introduced by National Treasury for spending on infrastructure on infrastructure in general. So from now on, when provinces are expected to give treasuries planning of how they're going to spend their money on infrastructure 2 years in advance, so that when the money comes in, it's ready to be spent, so that we won't have the underspending that we've been. So the system has just kicked in. Provinces have submitted their plans for the next 2 years. So from next year, provinces will be allocated money on the basis of whether their projects have been approved or not. And that's the way to deal with the infrastructure spending problems going forward.
I think it's for us to thank you and allow you to. We know the questions that we asked to some of them that go beyond you, but the reason why I wanted to set a dialogue, but I wanted to avoid it, is that when you talk health indicators. The finances and the human resources are there to assist those health indicators. Now, in health, you can't talk of, it's very difficult to talk of a budget of human resources and another budget, because you can't say this is a clinic without a doctor and a nurse. You say it's a hospital because of the doctor, there's a nurse. Now you can't separate human resources. Some of the failures are because of the human resources that are not, you can put in the finances, but if you don't have doctors and nurses or nurses giving us this, it's going to be, we're going to fall back. So it's human resources and finances that are supposed to be assisting. And I think maybe we need an infrastructural grant about primary health care. Because why the provinces are going on for the revitalization, it's a grant. But they abuse their own money for other things because they don't have a good referral system. I can walk into a big hospital now for my flu, which could have been dealt at the clinic. And I'm actually impinging on their revitalization plan than using the equitable share that they have. That's the big mismanagement by the provinces. But these are some of the things that. But in any case, thank you very much. We'll wait for those responses by Tuesday. Thank you very much. We can change chairs now.
Thank you. Thank you.
But there's unfortunately also no movement
on compliance issues as well as LPO. Now, LPO is our audit of performance objectives. That's the predetermined objectives that they've included in their strategic plan and that we are issuing assurance on. Currently, we're not issuing the assurance on the audit report. In the audit report, we will just give the findings. But in the management letter, we are actually starting to issue opinions. But that's not for public consumption yet. We will get to a public opinion in a few years' time. For compliance, the main challenge that the Department of Health still face is on monitoring of the conditional grants. There were a lot of discussion earlier, and I can just concur to what the FSC said. The monitoring of the funding by national departments is still problematic. And in the audit report, we specifically mentioned the grants that we've covered, and as FSC has mentioned, the National Health Insurance Grant is one of those grants that we believe they can tighten their monitoring. But there's also a number of other findings on conditional grants, the fact that they're not reporting in time, within the legislative frameworks, and that some of the business plans for the utilization of some of the grants were, allocations were made to the provinces without formally signing the business plan up front. So there's some non-compliant findings that they have to deal with. They also have some, and let me just go to the right of that one page. On the financial statements, you will see under risk areas, a red block that says material finding under financial statements. It means that they had to make adjustments to their financial statements that were submitted for auditing. It's just the quality of their financial statements were not 100%. And the HR, we've included a paragraph in the audit report about leave management. It's something that they need to tighten this year to make sure that they get their leave management under control. And it was really just the capturing of leave that didn't take place, obviously. And then supply chain finding, I think it's commendable for the department to speak. They don't have any procurement finding. This finding relates to 9 staff members working for the department but doing other remunerative work without approval. Last year we've reported 11 employees, this year it's 9, but that's the only procurement finding, or supply chain finding that they have. The other procurement that they're doing on a day-to-day basis is actually we're satisfied with that process. On IT, you'll see it's a yellow block.
The one that you're talking about, those who are getting remuneration outside, are you talking about professionals or you're talking about the administrative staff?
It's administrative staff. And they're working for the national department, not province. On IT findings, there's a number of IT findings still in the department. We haven't elevated the IT issues to the audit report as yet. At least the governance frameworks have now been approved by the DSA. They've been rolled out and implemented. So we would like to see a more rapid response to fix the IT issues in the Department of Health. But that goes for across the country. There's a few departments that have sorted out their IT issues. Let me just go back a bit on ALPO, the reporting against predetermined objectives. A number of the targets in the National Department of Health is flowing from the provinces. And there's a vast number of reasons why that information is not reliable. Starting with the system, it's a system like what we call a system of totals. So totals is populated onto the system. It's also taken from manual registers onto a system which allows for errors. And if there's not adequate supervision, errors are not picked up. But it also happens where the registers at facility level are not completed properly. There can be a number of reasons for that. The fact that there's not enough information officers at facility level,
to help them to capture the data, or that there's just too much for a nurse to do in a day. And I can use an example, Chair. We were visiting a small clinic in the Free State, and we actually, there was just one nurse. And when we did our order, she had to close the clinic for the hour that we were there for us to be able to perform the audit. What was really commendable is the fact that we left there without a finding. It was perfectly kept. Those records were really perfectly kept. But it was clear that the nurse had to do that after hours. She kept her records after hours because she can't attend to the patients during the day and keep the records simultaneously. So it's a number of reasons why the performance information is still not reliable. On this, I want to say that huge progress has been made at national level. A few years back, there was no policy procedure on how should it be done, how should the information be captured on the DHIS, how should the information be quality checked, etc. At least now there's a policy and a procedure rolled out to all the provinces. The challenge is now the implementation. And again, the Office of Compliance is that's one of the areas that they will also focus on, is making sure that this data is kept adequately at facility level and then rolled up to what is reported in the annual report. This information is critical for the country because you base your policy decisions on this information in the annual report. And that's why it's taken very seriously by national departments. There was also a number of other comments before I walked off national health. There was comments this morning about by the SEC around the lack of norms and standards. A number of projects have been started, but this is what the department can respond to when you meet with them. A number of projects have been started where norms and standards are being set now, which I believe is the way forward for the National Department of Health to make sure that those norms and standards are actually in place. When we get to the feedback on the provinces, I will elaborate a bit more about some of the focus areas that the SEC talked about this morning. So on CCRD, Minds and Works, you will note that they were disclaimed for 10-11, actually for a few years already, and that there's no opinion for the 11-12 and 12-13. I'm going to hand over to Jolene because she's very close to the CCRD process, just to give you feedback on what is actually happening now at CCRD.
Thank you, Alice, and thank you, Chair. We did disclaim for the 10-11 financial year, and as you mentioned in the briefing note, that report has not yet been tabled, and we don't have a definite date as to when that will happen as yet. But I think when it is, then you have more of an opportunity to understand what the reason for the disclaimer is. But just to give you an idea, the main reason for the disclaimer is due to an inability to properly account for certain liabilities of the CDOD. In order to do that, they had a separate system where they had to capture data and maintain the number of claims that is being made against the fund. So we had issues around that, which CCOD is currently addressing. I think the volume of information that needs to be captured and corrected is quite vast, so it's not a matter that can be dealt with very quickly. Initially, after we issued our disclaimer, management's estimate was that it's going to take another 3 to 5 years to clean out the data in the system. But having said that, I think what's important to note as well is that the ability of the CCOD to correct is going to depend on effective leadership and a strong action plan to be able to submit those financial statements in a timely manner. during the process when we were finalizing our audit, there was a change in the commissioner. The previous commissioner resigned and there was a new one that has been appointed. I think he's actually quite a strong leader. I think for him to be able to implement the ideas that he has, he needs a strong team to support him. And we believe that, you know, that's an area that the COD needs to look at. So they really need to capacitate the entity to be able to move forward. Resources have been provided to the department. Data capturers have been provided by the national department, but I think we still need more resources. I know the CCD has requested funds from the national department, but that hasn't really materialized yet. So I think our concern at this point is that there is no definite date as to when we can expect that they will provide us with the 11-12 and 12-13 financial statements. Thank you. Thank you, Julie. To continue to the Council of Medical Schemes, unfortunately, they regressed from clean to unqualified work for other matters. I will state this up front. I believe it's a temporary setback. It was not because of a deficiency in the internal control, etc. When they did the procurement, they were using an incorrect formula. And they were using that incorrect formula consistently throughout the year. So it was just an error that happened. After the actually getting the orders, they've already rectified the situation and they're back on track. So this year we are extremely hopeful that they will go back to clean again because the internal control environment is quite strong. We're very pleased with their performance. National Health Laboratory Services still maintain their unqualified with other matters. The main non-compliance finding that they have is still on their HR management, prolonged acting positions longer than 6 months that they have. And we've also reported in the documents that there was investigations in the KZN and Gauteng of Department of Health with regard to the National Health Laboratory Services. Those reports are in the process of being finalized. So I believe that once they are finalized, the department will share them with the committee. Yeah, I would like to pause here before I continue with the health sector and the provinces and their results. If there's any uncertainty or something that I need to clarify, I'll gladly do so. MRC, is that findings that they were clean this year, so nothing material enough to be reported in the audit report. They had a finding on supply chain management in terms of their procurement, but it was not, firstly, the amount was not material, and then secondly, it didn't happen consistently through the year. So it was a finding, we picked it up, but as I say, it was not material enough to be included in the audit report. Then maybe on that question, I need to give this clarity to say that a clean audit doesn't mean nothing is wrong. A clean audit means that your internal controls are strong enough to pick it up. So if something happened, how quick are you to recover and pick up the challenge and fix it? That's really what a clean audit means. I think we will be disillusioned if we think that a clean audit is that everything is fine. Even on the performance information, you can have a clean audit and still not achieve your targets. But what it says then is that the way you present the information is so transparent that any reader knows exactly what was the level of your performance. And while we're on MRC, if I can use that example, you will note that 54% of their targets were not achieved. But they got a clean audit. It means that they were truthful in the way they're reporting to say, on these targets, we did not achieve 100% of the target. When we look at the achievement of targets, we look at fully achieved. And there might be targets that are partially achieved. So we say,
year target not fully achieved is 54%. Okay. And then for National Health Laboratory, it was 44%. But again, you will note that National Health Laboratory didn't have any findings on performance information. Again, we can give you the assurance share that when you look at their report, their annual report, and their performance against the target, that it's the truth. We've tested it, and we can say comfortably that we can give assurance on that. Okay, I'll take questions on these few, and then... Do you prefer me to do the provinces as well?
Yeah,
okay. Good. We'll do that. On the sector, which includes all 10 departments, including the National Health Department of Health, and maybe I would also need to state from the beginning that I believe this committee is well aware of the challenges that the national or the provincial departments of health face. Some of these challenges are very deep-rooted, and it will take some time for them to get out of the situation. If we look at Eastern Cape has been qualified for the last 3 years, but it's interesting to note that there's a sense of hope in the Eastern Cape. Our teams are very optimistic that within the next 2 or 3 years, actually 1 to 2 years, they can actually move out of the qualification space. And it's currently being driven by a new HOD and CFO. They've got a TA as a CFO that are absolutely driven now. And that comes back to the strength of leadership and why it's so important that you have leadership that will drive the issues as well as a qualified CFO. Later when we get to the root causes, one of the root causes we've consistently been saying for the last few years is slow response by leaders to take up our recommendations. And what we see in the Eastern Cape is that there was a take-up of that message this year, which is very, very promising. The rest of the risk areas, etc., remain basically the same. I will just refer to KwaZulu when we get there. Free State, currently, Chair, we are concerned about the Free State. Some instability in certain key positions. At one stage in January this year, they had a number of their positions vacant. The MC passed away, the HOD was transferred, there was no CFO, she resigned, the General Manager of Finance resigned, there was no COO, there was no CIO, so no Head of Supply Chain. So all of these created challenges for the Free State Department, and they will have to seriously implement some interventions to deal with the challenges in the Free State. They remain qualified this year. I think the good news, Jay, is that they, notwithstanding these vacancies, didn't regress. We are always concerned about the regression when you have this type of instability. But to at least maintain their qualification was for us a good indicator. We don't want the scammers in this sector. Gauteng, again, a good message of hope. I shared at the Health Council the extent of improvement of Gauteng in the internal controls. Now, that is something that we haven't seen for a while in health, where the internal control environment is actually picking up. And we've seen it in the Gauteng province. In Gauteng, the risk manager has now implemented an internal control dashboard for every single facility that are now being tested and rolled up. So this is a serious take up of our message in Gauteng. KwaZulu, and maybe I must just say, Chair, what I'm sharing with you now is really the views of our audit teams and the experiences they had with the province. because my concern is when I looked at the data, it said to me we're stacking up.
Are we ready to play this? And when I engage with all the leaders in the provinces, there's actually,
it's not only a picture of not making it, there's actually a lot of hope in the sector, which is something that I felt I can actually share with the committee. KwaZulu, also making good progress with their qualification areas. Only a few left. From last year, they significantly reduced their qualification areas. And what they're doing is they're very systematically approaching these qualification areas, dealing with it one by one. The major challenge, though, is the assets. But they're doing well to get it addressed. Chair, the one that needs serious attention still is Limpopo. A new HD was appointed recently. Currently, there's still no CFO in Limpopo. It is so unfortunate that the national intervention did not have an impact in Limpopo. And when I say impact, on the outcome. There was a lot of impact, positive impact, on some of the elements. If I can give you an example, that on supply chain, there was no finding at the provincial department of Limpopo at the head office. What the province prepared actually followed due process under the watchful eye of the administrator. But where the procurement happened at the facilities, we noted the irregular expenditure there. My recommendation would be that the new leadership is now a new MEC, new HOD. Once they appoint the CFO, needs to, from a leadership level, engage with the CEOs of these facilities and make sure that it's an element of accountability. And I will talk about that again when I speak to the root causes, because in this province specifically, there is really a lack of accountability, a lack of consequences and a lack of accountability. Nobody's held accountable. Mpumalanga also experienced some instability challenges during the year. Movement in HOD, there were two CFOs in the year. I believe there's a new one now. So some instability again, and maintain they're qualified. They just need to make sure that the renewed energy in the province is going to deal with the issues going forward. Northern Cape is your good news. They actually improved. They shed off the disclaimer. So when I asked how long have Northern Cape been disclaimed, it was actually shocking. 11 years. They were disclaimed for 11 years. And this year they've managed to move out of that phase. It wasn't a quick fix. They started 2 years ago already, actively obtaining documentation, actively dealing with the challenges of providing sufficient audit evidence. They've done it this year. One of their big qualifications this year was on employee cost. And actually let me state it as good. They eventually gave us the information, it was just too late. So actually we're expecting some improvement next year again under the current leadership. There's really a serious uptake of our message in the Northern Cape. Northwest, also they came back. They were unqualified 2 years ago. Last year they regressed to a qualification. This year they're back under unqualified. They've restored their stability. The HOD and CFO is back at the department, not helping the other departments anymore. And that had a tremendous impact on the audit outcomes. And then Western Cape Chair is maintaining the unqualified audit opinion. They're also the only province that has not had consistently for the last 3 years issues on performance information. It again doesn't state that there were no findings. We only reported in the audit report if it's above 20%. If 20% of our sample is
not reliable or can't be measured. In the recent days, they've kept it below that threshold. Okay. So there were findings, but it was really manageable. I want to talk about, on the right-hand side, on the risk areas, you will note that Northwest and Western Cape had green blocks under financial statements. This is remarkable for a department that's so weak, to submit financial statements that does not require any adjustment. The quality of the financial statements submitted for auditing was really of good quality. So we're very proud of them. And then all the 100% of your departments, all 10 of them got HR issues. As I said, National got the leave. But there's a number of various reasons why these HR findings. Chair, at this point, I want to refer you to the annexure. On the annexure, and I know it's small print, but the second last block from your right-hand side is HR focus areas. And there what we've done, the red R means repeat. You will see which provinces have HR planning and organizational issues, management of vacancies, where it's a problem, where the appointment processes are a problem, performance management of staff is a problem, and then acting positions. Not all of this, when we talk about the focus area, it can be in the management report and the audit report. I just want to clear that, okay? It means it's something they need to give attention to. And then I also would like to quickly talk about KZN and their supply chain issues. Again, something that I believe KZN can be very proud of is they've dealt with their supply chain issues in the province. No finding in their audit report on supply chain. There were still some findings and some immaterial still in the management report, but in the audit report, the first that we've seen in the sector where the province has actually dealt with supply chain. In the Western Cape, where they've got unqualified, the biggest challenge and the only non-compliance they have currently is supply chain management. There was serious action taken this year by the HOD in terms of instituting disciplinary action where those irregular measures occurred of the end. So we've seen the leadership tone coming through there. Okay, then I also just want to refer to some of the pages in the detailed document that I believe will be valuable to the committee. The first page is on page 18. Item 7 talks about unauthorized expenditure. You will note 2 years back, unauthorized expenditure was 1.5 billion. Last year, it dropped to 1.3. It dropped to 855 million. 855 is still a lot of money, but what's giving us comfort that there's attention to this is the fact that it's declined. And you can actually, in the table below, you will note, for instance, Gauteng overspent R1 billion in the previous year, and they're down to 324 million. So it talks to what I said about the control getting tighter in Gauteng. And then, unfortunately, Limpopo had no unauthorized last year because there was really the taps were closed in Limpopo. But this year they again overspent by 222 million. Then on... Yes, from 9 million. On the next page, page 19, is the irregular expenditure. And what's concerning for us is the although it's a slight increase, the amount is not moving in the right direction.
So last year 7.6 billion rand irregular and this year 7.8. Last year, and I again, gee, my apologies, I've got to look at the total amount for this year, but last year health spent 25%, or health irregular expenditure made up 25% of the total irregular expenditure for the country. 25% last year. It was last year that health, the 7.6 million billion, was 25% of the total irregular expenditure for the country. So this sector is taking up a quarter of the irregular expenditure. Again, on irregular expenditure, we don't necessarily say that the money has been wasted. Okay. They might have procured the commodities, but the process they followed was not the due process that had to be followed. Okay. And I also just need to clear, it excludes where there was emergencies. With this emergency, there's a process that has to be followed. So when the deviation was approved, we take those into account because the regulations makes a provision for emergencies. What we don't take into account is that when there's a deviation for an event or a social function or a catering that wasn't done and there was catering was needed, those things we believe they had to plan properly to procure those services. And then on page 20, fruitless and wasteful expenditure has also increased to 605 million, up by 100 million. And we've given an indication of the provinces and the detail why the amount for fruitless and wasteful expenditure increased. I want to also, there was a newspaper article this week, but it just gives you an example of the challenges that we face, where hospital procured potatoes, bag of potatoes, right through the process, they follow due process, but the contract says they can procure it for 300 rand a bag. And this is just, it's not one of our findings, it came out in the media, but it again talks to the fact that it's not only due process that needs to be followed, it also needs management attention to what they actually sign up for when they sign those contracts. Again, my first reaction was when I saw when I heard about it, Corner showed me, was that somebody needs to be held accountable. And we would like to see that happening in the province. On the last page of this document, on page 22, we talk about what needs to be fixed. What's the root causes in health? On the people management, we talk about the vacancies and the instability in key leadership. It is one of the areas that we believe needs to be attended to. Health does battle with funding in the sense that there's vacancies that are not funded. But you also have an inequity between medical staff and admin staff. And if that balance is not right, and they can't get that right, it's going to remain a problem for health. Again, I know there's a project from the National Department of Health that are actually increasing the at the Norton Institute, the DG is in the process of setting Norton standards for the ideal structures per facility per hospital. And then the lack of financial and performance management skills needs to be attended to. On accountability, this is very important. I do believe that if this is implemented, we will see a bigger change in health. Responsibility for monitoring the implementation of action plans should be taken seriously. And then there needs to be a lack of consequences for poor performance as well as for transgressions. And then to sustain this, under sustainability, we talk about not implementing long-term solutions to improve audit outcomes, the quick fixes. There's quick fixes to try and get to a better outcome, but quick fixes don't last. We need to fix the underlying root causes and the underlying control that will sustain the outcome. And the inadequate discipline of credible monthly reporting on financial performance and compliance. Again, Chair, I've demonstrated that it's only the two provinces, Northwest and Western Cape, that gave quality financial statements. The other eight departments need to give attention to that, because it used those financial information not only at year-end, but right through the year. Management is using that information to make very important decisions, and the information needs to be credible right through the year. And that is really what's going to drive the sustainability of health. Yeah, I try to keep the focus to what is in the audit report, that we realize that there is a lot of challenges in the health sector. We can't minimize the challenges. There is really a lot of challenges that we've experienced. And then while I was speaking about the provinces, and just to touch on what the FFC spoke about this morning, we will be issuing a separate sector report early next year as part of a separate general report that will be tabled. And it's not public as we speak. I can just give feedback in line with their presentation that medical waste, we've been speaking about medical waste for a number of years. It doesn't get the required attention. There's consistent findings in terms of medical waste, the way medicine that's expired is not disposed of, etc. And then also on the EMS, emergency services, the slow response consistently being an issue. So again, we can confirm that the speed with which these things are addressed is really lacking. And then on infrastructure, there was a number of initiatives being implemented over the last year by the National Department to monitor and to tighten monitoring of infrastructure. And a number of the provincial departments have now appointed engineers to create the capacity in the departments to help them with infrastructure. But by no way are we saying that the challenges have been dealt with. There's still challenges in terms of the infrastructure that needs to be addressed. But again, I want to close off my section by saying this is a sector that we're neglected for many years, but we believe that there is this hope in the way these challenges are systematically being addressed and the ownership that we see from the National Department and Minister in taking up our messages and implementing sustainable solutions to deal with health. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Alice. I think if we as the auditor, with the Auditor General, then we would actually give you a clean, unqualified report in using your terms. No, even your dashboard was not like the airplane dashboard. It was very easy to follow. So thank you very much. Members, that is the report. It's so interesting that one of the few last provinces that we went to was Northwest. And we were at Northwest. We were not sure whether we were shown those good areas. But when we came back, we were really touched by the good work that they are doing. So, and it's confirmed by you here that things go on well. And interestingly, the last one that we went to was Mpumalanga. And what you have said here is exactly what we saw. Though we didn't stay for a long time, but we saw exactly that there's few challenges. But what gave us hope? Well, that there was an HOD that told her that she was standing that day, and there was somebody from KZN that brought him to Mpumalanga to work there. So that gave us hope that probably there was. So it tallies with what we saw doing our oversight. So we were quite, it's such interesting. It would be very good if you could help us with this irregular expenditure of 5%. If you could give us So because when we look at the figures, it's still 25%, but we don't know what's happening in other departments. Mm-hmm. So if you could help us so that we could make proper comments on that one. I think on the urban, the members are here to ask their own questions. As we said, members, we called Auditor General and the FFC just to help us so that when we meet the department, we know exactly what's happening. So they're just giving us, they're just showing us a mirror that this is what's happening in South Africa in health. The department is responsible for these things, but I'm sure there are certain questions that you'd want to ask them, or certain clarities. It's up to you to ask those questions. We've got about 30 minutes to go on to those. In fact, 30 minutes asking questions and then responding to those questions. So, up to you. I see members, I see Ndate Khanare. Uphed is running away. Okay, let's start to another member.
Thank you very much, President, and thanks, Presenter, for the thought-provoking and eye-opening presentation. I want to know if this is true. I've heard that when you go to health in the provinces, you are being paid. The Auditor General, there's something the provinces or whoever is being paid. Maybe it was whatever, because my concern was now overspending and now we have to pay all those things.
When you say they are paid, there's some work that they do.
Yeah.
Which they did actually pay. But they might be underpaid.
Okay. No, I just talk about the very same one, because my impression, I've been thinking that when they go there and doing some work, there is nothing they get from the that's what I was thinking. Now my problem, when I heard about it, I said, if these people are overspending, if these people are doing whatever, when Auditor General is doing work at the province and they are paid, how do the and I've never like see in the department where the budget for Auditor General. Yeah, thank you, Chairperson, for putting it in a language well understood. Yeah. It's not a bribe, but I know that my concern is them being paid, because I was thinking that they are engine of government. They are doing that work like that. Chairperson, I'm excited, maybe, to be saying that when I go to department, as always, from the AG, I'm equipped. But I would like to know the intervention. I always say interaction. How do you interact with the department? And this time, the presenter was not like with no hope. Mostly he was telling that there is hope. And now, you have shown us that there is a lot of things to be done. But what I would like to know, the department has told us since I came here that they are doing something about the leadership. Taking, like, the last bench which we were told, it was the CEOs to administration or management courses. I would like to know, in your own assessment, what is the impact of that? Because when you look at the your root courses in the big document, there are three things which repeat themselves, lack of consequences, inadequate monitoring, leadership ability, instability, inadequate skills, leader, even at a certain stage, you don't talk about leadership instability, but you talk about ineffective leadership. Now, mostly it's surrounded around leadership. And when we always talk to the minister and the department, they give us the assurance that they are doing something about it. Number two, I'm going to ask the very same question I asked the FSC. There's a lot of FS. Yeah, there is a lot of FS. Whereby I'm saying, do you know, my problem is, you're an important state organ, but my problem is, you can bark, but you cannot bite at the end of the day. And do you know, for me to have a dog who just bark, the people who are going there and butlers, they will get used to that that dog can only bark, but it cannot bite. That's my main concern. You tell the people you recommend. And another thing which really give me pushback is not you are not giving instruction, you are giving recommendation. And from what I have learned, recommendation, when you recommend something to me, there is nothing which binds me to take it. I cannot like be penalized or face consequences if you have been advising me or recommending to me for 11 years like you have talked about Limpopo and I don't do anything about it. If what I want to know is, if like that is the case, you always recommend, you always advise, you always support, but at the end of the day there is no improvement, what next? What level? Do you have any level where you are going there? The issue of vacancy. Just not sometimes I want to know what is the AG doing when the vacancy, maybe with the management letter. Is it managed? Yeah, the management letter. I'm telling you as the manager that, yes, I'm having this vacancy, but it's because I don't have funds. Because I cannot hire when I don't have funds. And another thing is, sometimes you find that even the allocated personnel budget doesn't match the own bodies, let alone the vacant posts. I want to know, how do you treat it? Because you find that sometimes Morosi get out as the district manager, and it become a relief to the district, because now they are going to use Morosi's salary to augment, and they can't fill that post because of there is no. How do you deal with it at the end of the day? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ms. I think what the Honourable Member is asking, are you a chihuahua that barks, doesn't bite, or are you a bulldog that doesn't bark, but it just bites? And I think the next step is become depressed when you've been saying something. That's a normal psychological thing. But if you keep on barking, you become depressed. And your morale goes down. Yeah. But in any case, I saw the heads. I think everybody wants to ask. Let's ask Honourable Robinson.
I'm actually not going to ask any questions. I think I've been covered, but I just want to say that I am also so thrilled that there is a turnaround and that there is a sense of optimism and hope. And I think credit must go to the Minister.
Thank you, my home girl. My home.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. It was so good. In fact, Chairperson, I jotted irregular, at 25% irregular. In rand terms, it amounts to how much? Because if you could help us, but if you can't today, I'm sure some other time you will. In most of your reports, there are people who have been in Hollywood, in most provinces, that is, people who have been in acting positions. Is there anything that, as the Auditor General, you can recommend beyond recommending to the department, such as, beyond the Auditor General's report? The other question is there regular interaction between the ages office and the department or departments? Those are some of the questions. And the final question is, do you feel that what you do is being responded to and it makes a difference? In service delivery, in the departments, and in South Africa in general. Thank you.
The members might go over, but because they are as frustrated as you are, because we seem to be doing the same job. Honorable Hannah, I see your spectacles. You have even taken off your spectacles.
Yeah, I want to see you properly.
Oh, you want to see properly.
No, I'm really encouraged that you say you met Minister five times. So the Minister is as much aware of all these things as you are aware, and as all of us. The question I wanted to, I got about four questions which are more or less recommend. As far as IT is concerned, what is the role of CETA in ensuring that the IT is up to date, and if you have engaged them? I'll be more interested to hear about that. And the issue of SCM, which is obviously everywhere. And I've got my own opinion about why there are problems, why people don't follow regulations. It's either they are not skilled or it's order to hide something. So you mud the water so that whatever you've done, which is not supposed to have been done, cannot be picked up, or you don't have the skills. And I just wanted to know whether those people, you found that any of the people in the SCM don't have the necessary qualifications or don't have the necessary skills. That's the reason why there's always problems in the SCM. Because all of these irregular, fruitless expenditures will be linked with the people in the SCM. And if you highlighted all these problems with management, when you say there are no consequences, did management respond about why we did not act on these things, which were highlighted to us? And on page 40, you actually say that we are also not doing our work as the portfolio committee. You are saying, in addition, the portfolio committee and SCOPA have not adequately followed up on the non-submission of financial statement for audit. I think here is a direct challenge to us as the portfolio committee, that we have to identify those provinces and those entities which has not supplied financial statements for audit. And then we must formally, I think the chair, you must formally ask them in a letter form to say, why are they submitting and why haven't they submitted? So that it can be part of our oversight when we talk to MECs and other people.
You had your hand up there?
No, yes, you can talk.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it was the beginning of the year, what came out very strongly, it was how the department used the consultants. I just wanted to find out what is the status quo now, because they were using consultants because we don't have adequate people. We're now recently on oversight, where we're told that it's one of the hospitals, 90% of the specialist vacancy rate, so we don't have people who are competent to do the job. And at the end of the day, it has an impact consider delivering. So I wanted to find out presently how is the situation regarding the use of consultants. Thank you.
Honorable Grace, and
thanks, Chairperson, and thanks to Auditor General. You know, sometimes when one doesn't ask questions, it's because this is my fifth year here, and all these things that we hear today, I've been hearing them for the past 5 years. So you've said something about 11 years with years. So we're still talking what you said last year about this. The question is, who is supposed to do what? Because it's like rhetoric. You are giving an information, and to me, you don't have 100% powers to instruct the department to do this or not. It's just what you are told to recommend. Now, beyond recommendations, nobody knows what is it as an auditor general must do. I'm seeing the column here of risk areas. We are told that the HR, there are no doctors in the whole world and no nurses. So which means this rate will remain up until doctors, we build doctors that will cover HR and nurses in this country. But also the question that I want to ask is about targets not achieved. There are somewhere where I see a dash. I want somebody to explain to me, is it targets that are not achieved or that were achieved? Because we see percentage. I mean, it's just a question just to inform us, but I think there's nothing that we can do except to just say, let's hope that something will happen somewhere, sometimes. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam. Honorable Mzala, welcome. Welcome, Mzala, but you're sitting on the wrong side. I'm not sure whether Maka, you wanted to ask something and Mzala. That's Honorable Mzala. If there's no question, then we can give over to them to answer. Okay. We'll give over to you, Alice. Maybe let's start with ours. Under the Hanari is asking us. Are we doing our? I think we are probably doing our, but I think we fail in certain areas. But the confusion that comes in the Hanari is that most of the work is done in provinces. And now when you interrogate certain things, you get phoned by the chairperson of the portfolio committee there and say, why do you interfere when I'm here in the province? And when we go to the provinces, we always write letters to them and say, let's go together. And then that's when you ask certain questions, especially some responses. But they are never there. Even if you write letters to them and say, we're coming to Mpumalanga on such and such a day, we either want the chairperson or the whole portfolio committee to be with us, or somebody who's going to represent the portfolio committee for the legislature. But they're not there, and we never get a reason why they're not there. But partly, it's our problem that I'm sure next year is something that we need to address as to how we work as national and provinces, especially departments like education and health, where there's concurrence. We need to find a way of how we're working. But I'm not protecting us. We've done something wrong, but I think we needed to respond to it. Okay, Anson, Jolie.
Thank you, Chair. Let me respond to that comment. I think your frustration is very valid in terms of the cooperation between national and provincial. We've also experienced that same challenge at the Health Council, where maybe I also, as part of my response, talked to that. There was a question around how do we interact. We interact every quarter at the Health Council as well, with all the NECs and the Minister. But the same challenge is experienced there. There will be a decision taken, but whether that decision is then implemented is then flawed. Because some take the responsibility of implementing a decision and others don't. What we refer specifically to in the document is the CCOD, the fact that they haven't submitted financial statements now for 2 years. So that's for us is a concern, and that's where we believe the portfolio committee can play a much more impact role to demand that financial statements are submitted, because as long as the previous set of financial statements are not, and the audit report are not tabled, and then the financial statements are not compiled, even if it's a disclaimer, at least there's a status of what is a status review of what is happening. But currently we, from an oversight perspective, are worried that there's now a total lack of oversight, because there's no accountability for what is happening at CCOT. And it is a risk. It's a risk to the whole country, because of the fact that we don't know what is the liability the government sits with because of the challenges in the data of the NBMT. So yeah, I if I can walk out of here with one recommendation to the portfolio committee is to tighten the control around CCRD. Any other comments, Chair? We do get paid. It's part of our funding model. We issue a budget, just for completeness sake, we issue a budget every department every year, and then as we invoice, we measure ourselves against that budget. So we're not solely responsible for the overspending. In the majority of the provinces where there was unauthorized expenditure, it is because of overspending on personal expenditure, so salary cost. There was a question around the interaction with the departments. Chair, I think we've never in the history of the AGS had so many interactions as we have had the last 2 years with the departments at every single level. At facility level, we meet with the CEOs before we start the audit as well as when we finish. In the provinces with the provincial departments, we have an agreement to meet with all of them every quarter. And at the national level, we meet regularly with the DG and the minister. There's another meeting with minister tomorrow. So those interactions happen often. And then, as I said, we also have a standard invitation to the National Health Council, where we use this power that we have in data to influence what is happening. And maybe I can also link that to the question around we bark but we don't bite. I think for us it's an important principle, and you're 100% right to say we're only making recommendations. But there's a risk if we do more. And the risk is that we will be responsible for making management decisions. We will be those that are starting to be responsible for the Department of Health if we take up the responsibility of the leadership. For us it's important that our messages are taken seriously by the leadership, starting with the political leadership as well as the administration. And the leadership that you do the biting. For us, it's important that the leadership is empowered to do that. They must have enough information to be in that position where they can comfortably take action. And that's why it's important that we are clear in our messages. When we engage, we should be clear in what is the issue that must be addressed. And even at facility level, we go so far that for every finding, we put in the person's name on that finding to say, this is the person that did not do this action. Or this. So it empowers the leadership to act on it. But currently, in terms of the way we do our business, we only recommend. We don't implement the disciplinary action, because we believe that that's the culture that needs to be set by the leadership. The culture of monitoring performance adequately is very, very important. The vacancy issue, maybe I also just need to add here that DPSA introduced the data cleanup process, and Health is, I'm not sure what the status currently, but they were busy with the data cleanup. When we do our review of vacancies, we only do that based on funded positions. So we only look at funded positions. But there were a lot of data inconsistencies in partial that hopefully after this exercise have been dealt with. We trust it will. And then, as I said, the majority of the unauthorized expenditure is because of personnel expenditure. And maybe the one assurance that I can give is that the DG is busy with the process to deal with the norms and standards for structures at facilities and at hospitals, which I think is, again, a very, very important principle, that is enough guidance and standards set to say, you know what, this is the number of medical practitioners that should be in this facility. You can't have dentists at every facility. But there needs to be a reasonable spread of them, they need to be accessible, etc. So how that structure, the ideal structure is then populated is quite going to be important, because then we have something to measure against. Currently we don't know what the ideal structure, so to measure it against it is problematic. That's one of the areas where we believe we're going to see a lot of refinement in the future. Irregular expenditure, Honourable Member, it's 7.8 billion for the, and it's on page 19, 7.8 billion rand for the, in 1 year, 1 year, only in the 12, 13 year for the Departments of Health. On the question around CETA, I think that is a very important question to understand. CETA is only responsible for the transversal systems, Bash and Bashal. They're not responsible for the other systems that health use, for instance, the DHIS. Those are systems that are owned by the department. So the controls should be implemented by the department. CETA is assisting them quite a lot, but the main responsibility is currently with CETA. Supply chain management, Honourable Member, I can't agree with you more. It's either that there's no supply chain head, or that people are not skilled enough, or that there's an intention. We've got lots of stories to tell about intention, and maybe the disclaimer is part of that story to say, you know what, we need to deal with transparency in the reporting. And getting all the documentation is critical in creating that transparency. You asked a very good question about is there a standard skill that's required for supply chain practitioners and the people in that unit. And maybe, I don't know, Jillian, if you know whether there's a standard, but as far as I know, the first standard that were implemented now was on MFMA level with Municipal Systems Act, where the qualifications have now been set for supply chain heads. I'm speaking under correction. I'm not 100% sure whether that standard has been set for national provincial departments, whether there's a standard. We can follow up and let you know, Chair. This is another question where I will have to get back to you, Chair. It's on the consultants at national department, and this is where I can speak with more confidence. I know they're using quite a number of consultants in the sense that they're using CSIR and DBSA to help them with setting norms and standards. For us, the big challenge is that when they appoint consultants, it should be appointed for a they should be appointed for a specific period for a specific project, and not to replace the work that should ideally be done by people in the department. In this case, the project that are consultant-driven is related to setting norms and standards, which I believe should be a short project. It's not a forever project. For the I'm not sure what the extent of use of consultants in the provinces and in all the facilities. I will do my best to see if I can get some information, Chair, on those two. And then there was a last question that deals with who is supposed to do what. And I would like to comment in this to say that for us, we've seen changes happening because of good leadership. If there's a responsive leadership, we've seen it. We've seen it with Minister and the DG, where there's actively a voice talking about health issues. We had a session with DG last week, and I called her a very courageous woman, because it takes courage to face the current reality. And she's not shying away from the challenges. She's taking them head on. And for us, it starts with leadership at all areas. It starts with leadership at NEC level, at premier level in the provinces, at oversight level, to make sure that there's tight oversight over the health sector. I also want to agree with the FFC this morning, where they talked about the inefficiencies in the system. That's where we need to start cleaning up. There's a lot of inefficiencies in the system. Once we're dealing with we've dealt with the standard operating procedures and the efficiencies are there, we're going to go a lot further with the budget we have. But there's a lot of wastage, and we can really, once we've dealt with the wastage, there will be more money to what is required. There was something that I was just thinking of as well. Oh, Jane, and maybe to come back to your first question on my first response on the role of the portfolio committees. We are concerned about the effectiveness of the portfolio committees at provincial level. It's really something that we, in our general report this year, we're flagging that the portfolio committees at provincial level is, the oversight that they're doing is really of concern to us. Certainly there was a slow uptake of our message by the portfolio committees as well, where here we have a relationship where I can meet with you as chair and we meet with the portfolio committee and we can really try and capacitate you. But in the provinces, it's few and far between where this situation actually happens. So yeah, we certainly, and I can speak for my provinces specifically. Yeah, I don't want to name it loudly here, but I'm responsible for Limpopo. So yeah, there was a lot of challenges that we need also that we face also at political level and at portfolio oversight level. So it's another area where if we can strengthen that, we will actually get the sector right quickly. Thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you, Alice. I think maybe let's comment on security. You know, it has been one area that has been really worrying us. In these 5 years that I've been here, there's only 3 times that we have turned people away. It was the Eastern Cape where the HOD came along. We said, no, you can't come alone, you must go back. The second one was the deans of faculties of health sciences when they gave us reports that were not on, so we turned them away. And the third one was CCOT. They came here and they gave us a cut and paste report, we turned them away. It has been a headache for the portfolio committee. So in fact, when there was a change of leadership there, we called them. And we were very hopeful when we saw the new leader, the new commissioner there. We were very hopeful that things are going to change, but we think that changing the leader and not dealing with the culture is still a problem, because you can see there's still a problem. I mean, looking at your report, there's still a serious problem. But I think it's on us to take it up and make sure that we monitor what's happening there. We think there's a lot of money that is mismanaged there, and in fact that money could help in a lot of things. And the biggest industry in South Africa is mining, and it has got to do with the biggest industry that is bringing money to this country. So we are definitely saying to you, we are going to work on it. Let's hope you must go and vote for us so that we come back, so that we can take it up. We can take it up again. I'm sure. No, we're very clear. You are a chihuahua. You bark, but you know there's an advert in TV a Vodacom advert. There's a man who, hey, the wife is always and he even gets into a boat and goes over, but he can't run away from this one. So you are not like that. You are barking, but that one, hey, he barks everywhere. And that man, I think the next thing that man is going to become an alcoholic. Because the way you see, he gets back. In any case, thank you very much. Let's test it. Even if you didn't talk, I'm not sure whether members want to ask something, but I think it's time for us to have lunch. And then, are we excluding them from lunch?
No.
No, we must, because they've got a clean report. So we must invite them for lunch. After lunch, we are meeting MSC. So we're not going home today. We're sitting until 6 p.m. Everybody. Not it's 6 p.m. Okay, it's time for lunch. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, members. Thank you very much. Even if there's change in Auditor General, you can see the continuation is still there. Okay, the meeting is over for now.
There's like the afternoon session, like the last time. I'm supposed to stay like the whole day, like the last time, but they say there's another session coming.
I'm sure it comes.
Please do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not.
Right?